But we also need to keep in mind that it's not about me. I'm not the one doing the actual work. I'm not even the one doing the communication. I am the one who's delivering whatever is coming out. So I can't tell a person not to come in with their cultural understanding or their traditional background, because what am I saying? How are they going to contain the information that comes out? Because a lot of the people come in and they say, oh, I understand that because I was told what I have is too much. I was told that.
Greetings, everyone. So in the last episode, we discussed whether or not it is possible to practice multiple spiritual beliefs at the same time. And I personally concluded by saying that maybe it would help to get a better understanding of what exactly those multiple spiritual beliefs are. And maybe then we will be able to say if they do connect or if those particular beliefs actually go against each other. So to kick off this little series, we are starting with exploring tarot card reading. Amongst many other questions, we'll be asking, what is tarot? Where does it come from? And is it based on any spiritual belief? And what exactly do you actually get from a tarot card reading? For this, I will be speaking to Bruja Tembi, who is a tarot card reader, and she will help us to understand whether or not you can incorporate tarot card reading into your African spiritual journey. Instead of just saying no, you can't, because when a person says no, you can't, they're usually talking about their own beliefs, their own experience, and in comparison to one other belief. For example, it would be like a Christian would say, no, you can't practice Christianity and African spirituality, for an example. Or someone will say, no, you can't practice African spirituality and Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, we usually use those two as a reference point. Mm-hmm. But as we are learning, and through technology and the internet, we're learning so much more, mm-hmm. right? And inevitably, we are going to maybe not end up practicing, but we are going to get influenced mm-hmm. by other mm-hmm. beliefs. You know what I mean? And you can tell, you can see this in how we use phrases online, you know, chakra hands, we're talking about astrology, we're talking about a lot of things that are aspects of other practices or beliefs mm-hmm. that are not necessarily, you know, grounded in what we in that particular moment believe that we adhere to, right? So I wanted to start with tarot, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you're the only person that I know who I can say I know personally who practices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to start, and what's different about this particular episode from the others is that I purposefully did not do any research, right? Mm-hmm. Because the reason I didn't do any research is because I don't want to go in already knowing some things mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. assuming that everybody would know. Because mm-hmm. when we talk about African spirituality, you know, there's a certain foundation that everyone generally understands. True. But true. With this one, I don't know what people generally know. Mm. So I don't want to go in with a lot of research whereby, because now I know this, I assume that everyone more than know it. So I'm coming in
clueless,
absolutely clueless, right? So I would like you to sort of keep that in mind with explanation, like, this is like literally step by step.
Yes, I can do that.
On a very, very basic level, right? So to start off with, what is tarot? How do you actually say it?
Tarot. Yes. There are people that are like tarot because of the different spaces there. We know Seth is Seth in English, but Hona, but to Seta. So it's actually tarot. Sorry, it's tarot, but there are people that just prefer tarot because it sounds, I don't know, the Western spaces, that's how they talk. I just wanted to add something. I just wanted to say something quickly before we begin. When we are talking about the different ways that people interact with spirituality, a lot of that stuff is context when you think about it. Because I grew up in a Christian home and I grew up in a Christian environment. And a lot of the practices there are things I'm finding in tarot. So for me, it was like Christianity was my preschool. And then I ventured on into other things that... So without Christianity, I would not even have an understanding of what I'm doing now. So it's like the different names that we are giving as human beings to understand the experience. So the spirituality of it is no different to Ubungoma, is no different to actual Christianity, is no different to Wicca or anything else that people are doing outside. It's just the boxes that we choose to put this experience in so that we can understand it as human beings. So when a person is saying, hey, you can't mix spirituality with Ubungoma, they are talking about the actual construct. It's not the spirituality of it. Because the spirituality is fluid. It's the context. It's the box that, hey, this is the box and there's the other box. So if you're going to engage spirituality in this box, you have to do it this way. Because there are people that are mechanical with spirituality. It's about the candle. It's about the water. It's about the this. It's about the tool, not the actual divinity that's flowing.
Okay, no, that's a lot, and we're gonna get into all of that. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned a lot of things that I actually want to get into. So, yeah.
I didn't answer the question. What is tarot?
Yes,
that was the question.
Yes.
What is tarot? So, tarot is I discovered this via Kabbalah and Jewish traditions. So it is foreign in that it's not our thing, but it is no different to bone reading because it is a divination tool. So tarot is a collection of mystical cards. So these mystical cards are what allows you to interpret information. So it's like a tool that you are then giving to divinity to communicate with us in the physical level. Because when you think about umuntu who's gone through epehlweni, learned how to use amatambo, this person will tell you that when this bone does this, it means that. When this bone show up like this, it means that. Letambo means this, letambo means that. And when I throw them, they will tell me what's happening. Tarot is the same. The only difference is I'm pulling out a different deck of cards that will tell me. So it's still spirit communicating, just that the medium is a little out. Because when you think about colonization and everything, we lost a lot of ourselves in the process. Meaning, had I gone in the common way, the traditional way, I'd be doing what I do. Only difference is I'd be doing it ngamathambo. But the fact that my generation and my grandmother's generation can't hear each other, I often find myself in spaces where I'm speaking to elderly people and they are speaking this language that I cannot hear. Because from preschool, I've been like, we are in a colonial space. From preschool, this everything is English, everything is white, everything is this. And then I'm expected one day I'm done with everything. One day I'm supposed to go in and take in the hugeness or the bigness of blackness that I'm actually not familiar with. So not that I'm not familiar with, but it becomes bite-sized pieces that you take this thing in with bite. You don't overwhelm yourself with it.
Sure. Okay. Now that you've said that, let's backtrack a bit. And... like I said, I'd actually want us to get to know your particular journey first. Mm-hmm. What is your spiritual background?
Spiritual background, I grew up in a Christian household. Mm-hmm. So initially when the stuff of, hey, you have a gift, hey, unengul, oh, you are sick, you are this, oh, you are mental illness, white people don't know what's going on with you.
Were you seeing it when?
I was.
How was it manifesting?
So it was manifesting in the form of, okay, so there were physical illnesses, but I think those are more general compared to the mental illness, because this is a person in and out of psychiatric hospitals. People are trying to figure out what's going on. They diagnose you with this. Okay,
what was happening?
So what was happening with me is that my umoya wami was interfering with my physical space. So meaning that internal conflict was manifesting in my, because with tarot you're using a lot of the mind. Mm-hmm. You're using the mind, you're using spirit, but from the space of the mental.
So but at that time, because you didn't know it, was it a matter of let me put it this, what were you diagnosed with, or what were they trying to diagnose you?
So at first it was manic depression, and then it was bipolar, and then it got to a point where they're like, okay, maybe this could be schizophrenia. And remember, I come from a Christian home. So although we have people coming out, prophets coming out and saying, okay, lomuntu lona, she has bungoma. Lomuntu lona needs to melatwase. This person has, you, everything will pop out. People will actually tell you that, no, man, you're a prophet. This person has prophetic abilities. Some will even tell you, no, you have umthandazeli, you need to be praying for people. And my family was just on some, what? No. Okay, let's just sort this out the church way. So the mm-hmm. prophetic one was the closest one to us.
Okay.
But at the time...
So that was the only thing within your vocabulary at the time.
Yes. Yes. So when all of this is happening, I remember there was one particular person that was like, okay, since we're not getting help and it seems a bit of a mess, because I was in varsity when all of this was happening, the mental chaos and the whatnot. Okay, you are in a space where you can't even study. And I remember it was like second year, I'm almost done. And then they were like, listen, we have been patient enough with you. We need Lizinto Zomoya attended to. So there I am. I'm now moving
back.
So
when you say they, who are you talking about?
My ancestral guide.
How was that communication coming through to you?
So to me, it was that question of, I know I'm receiving communication in my dreams. And I know, like, with clear cognizance and clear audience, you are hearing, you are feeling, you are thinking, but you don't think it's isolated from you. You don't think it's isolated. You just think it's part of some of you. Because there were friends that were like, Achiwena, you have a multiple personality, what? One minute you're this, the next you're that, the next, which is part of bipolar, in fact. At the time, I didn't think there was any spirituality to it. I just thought it's an imbalance that I have. But what was actually happening, I understood much later on, is that abantu abadala that were coming through me, abantu abadala that were communicating that, no, this is that, this is that, this is that. But I was not in a space where I was aligned, so it was quite chaotic.
So then how did you move from that? Like, what was the breakthrough? What happened with the issue of having Mutwasa, and what did you do about that?
Oh, I met a woman. I met a woman in KZN. Mm-hmm. So this is a woman who was very anti-establishment. She was a psychic. Kim Zulu.
Okay.
Yes. So she was the type of person, she'd been in and out of Epehlweni and nothing had really worked for her. So she was of that belief that you guys as young people shouldn't be going through this. There are alternative ways of aligning umoya wako without going through that when you're not ready. And it's because she had seen so many people suffer. And so she was like, okay, you know what? Something is going on with you and I want to assist you with it. And she was a blogger at the time. So she's constantly writing about her personal journey, her experiences. And I could identify with a lot of that. I could relate, especially when she talks about her story too, from the point where she felt she knew something was wrong to the point where she understood what was going on. And I was like, 90% of the stuff is me. So then I reached out. And when I reached out, she was a person who sat me down. We had a full-on reading. So she channels.
Continue.
Yes. So she channels, like they come out. I know I want to call it ukufemba, but she hadn't trained for the process. Okay. She hadn't, so I don't feel
what method of channeling was she using? Like, was she using any tools, or was she just channeling just through her body?
Just through her body.
Okay.
Just through her body. But it was, I would still say it was the most magical experience I'd ever had, because a lot of the people that were coming forward, I could identify them. The mannerisms, the body language, because you could see that she shifted from a man and she's now a woman. So, and that was the first reading where I actually cried, because I could identify and I could hear and I could see. And they were addressing all of these things that needed to be done and needed to be remedied. But that was where I felt like my healing began. That was where I felt like this is exactly what I needed, because she gave me all the clarity that I needed. So coming out of that space, I was then inspired and motivated to kind of like figure it out on my own, because post that I was in a space where I was thinking, I need help. Someone has to walk me through this process.
And by help, you mean the mental guidance. Health route, or having to find a spiritual mentor?
At that point, I'd already decided that, you know what, this is actually a spiritual thing. Okay. Yes, at that point, I was like, you know what? This is spiritual, simply because of the research I was doing at the time. And I then understood that these things are not isolated. So yes, I'm not going to get off my lithium now, but I'm going to supplement it with that until it actually makes sense to me. And with her, it was just that process of, you need to understand abantu bakho. You need to develop a relationship with abantu hamba nabo, and you need to be in a place where you can actually communicate, because once you've aligned that, everything else becomes clear, because they are able to walk you through your entire journey themselves. So that was actually very different to what I was used to, because it was that thing of, you need to find a mediator, and that mediator needs to walk you through that process. So because I was seeing that she was living it and she was doing it and she was okay with it, that gave me the confidence to say, okay, fine, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to go with the process, and I'm going to get to a point where the lines of communication are so clear that I can actually allow them to walk me through the process without a mediator. Because I understood that my particular water spirits, they did not want a third party. They did not want to deal with that. Mm-hmm.
So, what did the process take of you figuring out what is it that you have to do? What did that process entail? Figuring out your path, what exactly did that process entail?
It entailed a lot of going back into the family tree, of which was a difficult thing. Because with me personally, I grew up on the paternal side of my family, and I didn't have any knowledge of my maternal side.
You know what I think? I think if you want to break up your family, if you really intend on breaking up your family, you must try to drop the family tree.
Absolutely.
Like, get everybody to contribute. You that's how you actually literally break up your family. Because a few branches in, there's already controversy. The stories, you know what I mean?
Even before
if you were to ask your uncle, like, okay, I need to do a family tree, let's start with who are your kids, and then you see his wife looking at him, you know. So I can imagine that
it was a lot.
I can imagine having to trace the family tree was quite challenging.
It was too challenging, because already now we're not even in the tree. We're at the very beginning. The parents themselves, yeah. There was already conflict there. Because the one saying, no, but your mother...
Very often, you can't even move past that part.
You can't. So, from then on, it was just this process of... And that's the reason why. That's the reason why, in this work that I do, the intention behind it is, I'm trying to create alternative ways of navigating older systems that might not apply to us as a younger generation. Because a lot of the clients that I have are people who know and understand, but they don't know how to apply. For example, I'll speak about the process of like a process of cleansing, right? A lot of people know, okay, in order to cleanse, you have to be there physically. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. So with me personally, and with my own experiences, that was outside of my paradigm. So cleansing by way of, these are things I'm doing in my day-to-day, these are my spiritual baths, these are my my, you know, the diffusing that I'm doing in my space. This is me. Although I would think about it as spell work, it's the one thing that allowed me to get past the blockages that were making it difficult for me to connect. So many of the people who come to me are people that have done all of these methods, but they still haven't worked because they are in a space where you're not 100% there because you don't even understand what you're doing. So you're not even putting in the right intention. So now it's like that thing of we're looking for alternative ways to remedy or to sort out our problems, because are we really evolving if I'm cutting and pasting? Just because something worked for Ukokwa, I mean, doesn't mean it's going to work for me because times have changed.
Okay. So how exactly did you come across tarot? How exactly did this happen?
This is exciting. So with a tarot, this is actually very, 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 very strange. This was pre-COVID. So pre-COVID, I'm in a situation now where, okay, so the flat I'm living in is being sold. So I know very soon I have to be out. And I'd been applying because from 2017 to 2020, I don't even know how I was surviving, because I was in this place where I'm applying, I'm not landing anything, right? Because I'd gotten out of the copywriting space. I'd gotten out of the retail space. So it wasn't even that I didn't have the experience. It was just that thing that if we allow you to move in that space, you're going to be so comfortable that you're not going to be doing what you need to be doing. I was in the space where there's all this internet. All I have is internet. So after a while, applying gets tiring. What are you interested in? So I'm there, I'm studying mysticism, I'm studying occultism. This is what's getting me out of the bind in my mind, because I'm actually trapped. I'm trapped financially, mentally, everywhere. I'm trapped and I have to figure out a way. So I'm studying this stuff because me going online and watching tarot videos is helping me make sense of what's going on with myself, you see. So then I get to a point where I'm like, but I have all this time. I'm going to learn this thing. I'm going to learn it, because I was of the understanding that the practices zesintu, right? When we go back to the Witchcraft Act. So when we don't call it witchcraft, but what you're actually doing is working with the elements. You are manipulating the elements. Whether I do it, it goes back to the stuff we were talking about context, that you can attend spirituality via the Christian context or any other context, but it's still spiritual. So I was of that belief that, okay, fine. So a witch and a traditional practitioner are not different. It's the tools they are using that are different. Because in my process of actually studying these divination tools, I was always ending up at the same place.
Wait, we need to go back. Just kind of mad. So when you say a witch, please give us context, because we understand a witch as untagat.
Yes.
So in which context are you using the term?
Let's get into that. So originally, a witch was a mystic or a person who's able to work with divinity, right? Mm-hmm. So with the political space of we need to suppress that so we can be in a space where we can actually control, so they must now demonize that.
Okay.
So the same way that certain parts
it's witch in a European context.
Yes. Okay. So this is a person who's working with herbs, immunity or anything. And to be honest, as much as a person can heal you, a person can also harm you. So we have to get to a point where we're unifying this thing. Meaning you coming in with a fear-based paradigm to say, oh, umtagati is actually bad and a healer is actually good. Whilst umtagati can heal as much as they can harm you. Then it's like two sides of the same coin.
Okay.
So it is in that differentiation that we get lost as people.
Okay.
I hope that's making sense.
All right. Okay.
Yes. So that going back, Bruja also. That's what I use.
So you call yourself Bruja Tembi.
Yeah.
Right? So what does Bruja mean?
So
Bruja, is it a title or is it a name?
It's a name. Bruja is Spanish for witch. A practitioner of magic. Bruja is a feminine practitioner. Brujo with an O is a masculine practitioner. So it's like Gogo and Ukehle, okay. Like Ikehle, yes.
Okay.
Except it's just of a foreign. Yes, because now also when you think about my whole study of tarot, it's not black. It's not black. It's also foreign in that my ability to study it and access that information came from the fact that my people were like, Indlondlozami were like, Yazin, we're going to use what this child has access to. You do not have access to our things. We're going to use what you have access to and to get the job done.
So now comes a very touchy and tricky part of the healer space.
Mm-hmm.
In that we tend to believe that we need verification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. As because there's a debate going on within Ubungoma about can you be a healer who otwasile or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go through any formal training by another person,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
whereby you got the title, or is it a situation of self-initiation?
So, to answer this, I just want to make a point, and this is a debate that I get into a lot with family. So, back in the day, lendabale yokuthi you actually have to get someone to come in and aletha abantu abadala. Before, we were running to traditional healers for everything. Your elders, like abo, like the people in Lini, your uncles and your fathers were the ones that actually did that process. Because initially, in Twaso was, there were people that, you wouldn't call it self-initiation when umkhulu wakho disappears for years and years, and this person is known to have gone under the water somewhere. This person comes back and they come back with knowledge. They come back with information. Because my only verification is results. The fact that a person comes back and they say, Gogo, the thing we've been talking about, I could not conceive, I'm pregnant now. Or Gogo, I could not land employment, I'm working now. That for me is all the verification that I need. Because are we not undermining Itongo by saying somebody else has to actually give you that sign of approval? Because it's not true to actually say Angtwasanga. I mean, my not having gone through the fact that Angtwasanga in the conventional way does not mean Azangintwase. Because a lot of the struggles that I have versus a person who's gone through the process are very similar. It's just that thing that you have, Lezondrondo, especially when we're speaking about Inzuza, right? So the woman who actually helped me, she was a very water-spirited woman. So she was there to unlock the process for me so that they can actually do the work. So I guess the conversation there becomes about what is the other person's idea of verification. Because would I then not
and
be
what
putting...
what is the definition of repair?
What's the definition of that? Because if a person, right now, even with your own children, when you see which umtanako is picking up okay, they are studying, they are understanding numbers, they are whatnot, there's no need for you to go and get a tutor. You're going to teach them yourself. Mm-hmm. So are we then not undermining amatongo etu by saying, until someone actually gives you that stamp of approval, what about their stamp? Because they are the ones that are giving you this thing.
So then at which point did you then move from being a person who is still learning? Well, I know you're still learning, but where you move from, this is something I'm interested in, this is something that I'm learning to, I am now a practitioner. This is what I now do. Like, how did you transition from that?
It happened in such a mysterious way. Can mm-hmm. I tell you that I've always had access to healers, trained healers, umuntu who's gone through Phuzile walphalaza everything. Sorry. So these people are coming up. These are the people who are then coming up saying, listen, I have an issue. Can we talk about it? Can we discuss it? They come out with their actual answers, because I never once in my life ever told anyone, address me as Ugogo. Address me as Ugogo. People just unanimously decided. When people come back with their feedback, it becomes that process of Togoza Gogo or Togoza Kesha. Then they say what they say. Then you understand that it's not you. You're not the one. You're a vessel. You're a conduit. And your elders are the ones that are actually doing the work. Because I never decided. I never woke up and decided and said, yeah, today I'm a tarot reader.
Hmm.
I'm reading tarot now.
Who was the first person you read?
Family, friends, because I remember after I designed my first deck, I created a deck with the normal playing cards. So isn't it, I was in that stranded situation where I was learning this thing, and I'm like, the best way I'm gonna get into this is if I create my own deck. So I've got astrology there, I've got numerology, I've got all these other.
So you create,
yeah,
your own. Is that what normally happens?
No. No, that's not what normally happens, because what happens is you get a deck of cards and then you go to someone to teach you how to read tarot, and then you carry on, which is why my current tarot is standing out so much, because the tarot you will get online versus the tarot, because mine is very spiritual based, like even just the channeling and that psychic element, yeah, of your people coming forward, that is not common to, mm-hmm, it's not exclusive, or it's not, I don't know what word to use.
So are you saying that then there isn't a set deck of cards, that like a standard chart? You know, like in astrology, you'll have, uh-huh, your Sagittarius, you'll have your this. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that in tarot there isn't a set?
No, there is. No, okay. There is in that we've got the major arcanum. So this is what's happening metaphysically. So here we've got the luminaries and the astrology and the celestial bodies and their movement. The minor arcanum, this is linked with numerology, and that is then what's happening physically. Because in esoteric terms, as above, so below, right? As above, so below meaning that your physical reflections, your physical reality, all of that is a reflection of what's happening metaphysically. Meaning that right now, if Ugogo wakes up and she knows that one of her daughters are pregnant before that daughter actually knows, it's because she dreamt about it. So that means that things are happening in spirit first before they happen physically. So when a prophet is telling you something that's about to happen and it actually happens, there's no magic to it other than the fact that and then them seeing that thing in spirit, they are able to reflect it. When we go into the manifestation spaces, the law of attraction people, they tell you that in order to change your physical environment, you need to change the energy. And you're changing the energy by going back into spirit. So they'll usually say things happen in spirit 3 months before they happen here.
Does this mean that then tarot, is it a tool or is it a spiritual belief?
It's a tool. It's a tool. Because Kabbalah is the spiritual belief that tarot springs out of.
And Kabbalah is Jewish in its origin.
Yes. Yeah, so that's where we get the tree of life, we get, you know, the supernals, because I remember us discussing numbers, the ones, the twos, the threes, which were the original Holy Trinity, which was the mother, the son, the child, before it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all of that, it's just part of the mathematics of spirituality, meaning that I cannot see energy, but I can measure it. I can measure it, I can feel it, I can sense it. When a person is clairvoyant, they are tapping into spirit visually. When a person is clairaudient, abalozi, they tap into spirituality with, you know, audio, they are hearing. Claircognizant, they are able to receive downloads at rapid speeds. So now, even with the process of cards, you are allowing a divine energy to come forward, pick the cards out. In your communicating, it's always so mystical, to such a point where I still have days where I don't fully understand what I'm doing. Because there are days where I will have a reading with someone and I will communicate something, and that person will hear something completely different because that's what they were meant to hear. I'm not in that person's life.
So in the spectrum of clear cognizance, clear audience.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you fall in?
I'm definitely clear cognizant, mm-hmm, and clairvoyant as well.
Okay.
Yes. Simply because.
So when, sorry. So when during a consultation, what exactly is happening? Are you? I come to you for a reading, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And that reading, what exactly is happening? Because I'm sure we're coming from a African spirituality, mm-hmm, perspective, where, mm-hmm, if you are Isangoma, we're sitting there during a consultation, you are basically channeling Abantu Bagini, mm-hmm, and my people, mm-hmm, at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you sort of part of that, you're listening into that conversation between my people and your people, and they are communicating what to your people what it is that, that you know I need, and all of those things. So in tarot, what exactly is happening?
So in tarot, you are reflecting life force. You are reflecting life force to see what's actually happening in that person's life force, because there's a lot that we can't understand with the physical eye, but when we then have a mirror in front of us, it starts making sense. Because 80% of a lot of the stuff that comes out in readings, people know about it. They're like, oh my God, how did you know I lost a child? How did you know this? How did you know that? It's because the actual work that's being done is reflection there. So now you understand the things that are reflecting in your life physically, you know where they are coming from, and you know what attributes that, because sometimes people know, but they don't believe it, or they have that self-doubt. So until someone actually confirms it to you, you are not 100% there. It was, yeah, I did think of that, but I wasn't sure. I didn't know. Maybe it's all in my head. So in tarot, you are literally having somebody mirror to you what's happening in your life force. And then you start knowing, okay, so these are the elders. Here's what they are communicating. Here's what they are feeling. And you get to get answers. Like, you're even able to ask questions that help us to unpack a lot of the stuff that comes out. Because I understand that I too get carried away. Like, when I start talking in tarot terms, like I'll speak about a hierophant, which is a master teacher, or I'll speak in a lot of the astrological terms, and then a person will actually ask me to go, please break this down for me, and then it starts making sense even to them. So it's a reflection.
Sure. Okay.
And when you think about umgoma, that process of umbilini, right? So you, what makes any reading accurate, whether you're working with bones or whether you're just channeling via yourself, is your ability to reflect the other person's life force. So.
Wow. Okay. So now, you said that you came across it online. And you identified and you connected, and you put it that way, then you connected, right? And you made your own cards, or you can go and get your own cards. There's something in the idea of tarot cards being available in a shop that suggests that I can go and buy a deck of cards, learn their meanings, and then come to someone and whip them out like the magic, like the magician. Pick a card, any card.
Any card, yes.
Can anyone do this?
To be honest with you, no. Simply because even before I got to the process of me learning this and studying it and whatnot, I was in a situation where I'm dreaming a lot of these things that don't make sense to me. Even the cards, long before I even had them, I was seeing them. But I didn't understand what it was about or what it actually meant. Where you'll see your knights, you will see your like, for me, it wasn't even the deck in the store. It was the regular playing deck, the hearts, the jack of spades, the this, the joker. I'm seeing all of that. I don't even know what it's about. And my people had already decided that since you're intelligent and since this is the language that you hear, we're going to work with you in this language because you actually hear it. There are people that go in, a person will buy a deck, a person will this, and then they will actually do readings, and it's still effective because it's still a way of connecting with the divine. Because when you think about actual readings, a person is actually tapping into divine intelligence in order to connect for you. So I think it happens to be a medium that my guiding elders decided to use because they saw that I was the most receptive to it. But I wouldn't be honest with you to sit here and tell you that anyone can do it, because there are people that are reading tarot right now, but it's not the same.
Okay, now I want to understand it now on a practical, technical basis, right? And this is from what I'm seeing on TV, right? I come to that old white lady with the frizzy hair, and you know, and the rings, and the, and you know, and her weird accent, and she's got a crystal ball next to her, right? So I'm coming for a reading, and she's got that palm reading sign there next to her, and her cat. So So I come there, I'm there for a reading. You know, she puts the cards there and then she says, I must pick a card.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to take, I'm going to take a card. She's like, ah, it's the knight. It means you're going to die in 10 days or whatever, right? Where is the spirituality in that? Because from what we see from TV, tarot, all it is you go there, you pick a card or a series of cards, and that person will tell you, if you've picked this combination and the combination and the combination, it means this. This is a knight and this is the that and the that and the that. And mm-hmm. these cards, mm-hmm. you can even write the meanings on them, you know, like this card, this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So where does the interpretation come in into that? When it is what it is. It's a hot, what is it? The headless horseman or whatever.
It's a lot easier to understand it when we put it into the context, Yamatamb.
Okay.
You come to a bone reader, ufuta into the bones. You mm-hmm. blow into the bones. And after blowing into the bones, this person throws the cards, lahlamatambo pants, and then the cards speak. And then the bones speak. How do I know that that bone, like, it's just a bone? It's just a bone. All right. And it could have come out in any way, probability. It could have fallen in any other direction. So it's literally the same thing. It's that thing of the actual tool has nothing to do with the spirituality of it. Because by you picking a card that you feel drawn to, that's a very instinctual process. There are people that use tarot upagamisumoya, like to increase your intuitive abilities. Because you get to a point where before a card comes out, you know what card is going to come out. You know what card is going to come out. And it becomes very difficult to try and explain that practically, because it's like trying to be very logical about mysticism. Whereas you are like, what are the odds that I went and picked a card that spoke to my current situation? You're a con. You're scamming me. Mm. You made sure that those cards will be as generic as possible so that it could speak to everyone's situation because it doesn't make sense.
And you can put it into any context. You can put it into any context
because my going in and blowing in Amatambo and trusting that whatever's going to come out is going to be factual is no different to a person saying, pick up my card, pick them out. And then I'm looking at the cards and they speak to my situation. That is insane.
Sure. Does tarot have its own cosmology? Like, or is it just based on the Jewish belief of the patriarchs, mm-hmm. Abraham, obviously excluding Jesus, because mm-hmm. in Judaism, Jesus is not such a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Does it then follow the Abrahamic cosmology?
Yes. In that, the celestial bodies are the same. I know there are some very special women right now that are doing it with the African calendar, like with the original, with Kemetic astrology, sidereal astrology. But specifically with the one that I use, since I'm simply using it as a tool, the celestial bodies and the luminaries stay the same. Jupiter is Jupiter, and it's always going to communicate expansion. Gemini is Gemini, and it's always going to explain a twin flame mirroring, or when something is reflecting above the way that it is physically. So with me specifically, the astrology is the astrology that we know. It's the astrology that we know that you can Google and you can see. It's not a special one. It's not even, I'd go as far as saying it's not even the accurate one, because we know that there's actually a more accurate one. But it's not even about that. It's a tool that Umoya is using to communicate with an individual. So Umoya does not have those distinctions of, oh, okay, this is bones, I'd rather communicate with something else. Once you've opened that portal and you've opened that connection, they look at what they can use and they use what they've got access to. So I try not to make it about the tarot in itself, because it's not about the cards. It's about this being a conduit of communication, and the communication that's coming through is more important than the tool itself.
What kind of people come to you?
The people that come to me are usually... 80% of my clients are spiritual people or healers when I think about it. They'll come there, and then the other people will be people that will come in with relationship problems. They want to understand that this is showing up in my relationship and I don't understand why this is showing up. Can you help me understand what is it that I'm doing to get this type of signal back? And then we start looking into it. And then with a lot of the healers, I guess it's nice, or it just adds to your faith, being knowing what you are going, doing your izinto zakho traditionally, and still being able to tap into the more psychic spaces and still find the same people.
Are the healers who come to you, are they coming for themselves or for verification of their work?
Verification of their work. Because many of them, they have amapopo, they already have a bunch of interpretations, and it becomes this thing of, let me go and connect to someone who's able to tap in and see if I'm on track. Because it's nice to hear from someone. I mean, as a healer, you can't heal yourself. So you want to go to somebody who's going to come and let you know what's what. So it's not to say that they don't know, they do. But there's something wonderful about being able to call and get answers. Like being able to say, hey, here's where I'm at. Many of my readings, and you've experienced this, before a person actually communicates, I will start with the deck and I will do the spread and I will then talk. So many of the people that have written down their questions at the end of the reading, they're like, oh my God, you've already covered 10 of them. I don't know what to tell you. And that's another sign of spirit actually working, because they already know why you came.
Do you consult?
I do. I enjoy. Not to say normal people don't talk like that about these type of things, because people go to consult when they have problems. But for me, it's just really nice to have a mirror in front of me. It's really nice to have somebody else look into me the way that I look into me. Because the reason why tarot readers cannot read themselves is because it's subjective. I know the outcome I want. So meaning that I can project all over my deck. It's easier for somebody to tell you who is not attached or in your situation. So I don't think you being a reader makes you a know-it-all.
So you consult with Sango?
I do.
Or you consult with other tarot readers?
I consult with Ukoko. And then with other tarot readers, there is a palm reader, a very wonderful palm reader I know. And I only go there when there's a relationship ask, because the level of tapping in is not the same as when you're dealing with someone who is a trained healer.
So it's interesting that you bring up the palm reader thing. Mm-hmm. So for me, palm reading, tarot card reading, and things like... tea leaves, mm-hmm. Coffee grains, mm-hmm. you know. For me, it's always been, I have this understanding that there are people who are able to read patterns. Mm-hmm. Is tarot reading and palm reading and things like tea leaf reading and coffee grinds reading, all of those things, are they the same thing?
No. Actually, yes and no. And I want to say yes, because the reason I'm saying yes is because there are people that approach tarot reading the same way as palm reading. I'll make an example. In tarot, we have an earth element, a fire element, a water element, an earth element. You have the same also with the hands. There are earth hands, fire hands, all of that. So, meaning that you are able to approach it in that way. The same way there is a very light numerology. A very light numerology that doesn't go in super deep. And then you have gematria, where gematria is going deep into your name and it's telling you Utikamalako has this energy, that energy. So, I think that what makes this a little different is that what makes mine strange is that I've combined that with isiNtu, or I've combined that with my traditional stuff. That's the only thing that makes it different. But it really is just that thing of ngizolahla amathambo, and I'm going to tell you what's going on based on the bones that are coming up, because these are what my ancestors are telling me.
why are these spaces filled with middle-aged white women?
I think
because I the only thing I did in preparation for this recording is I went to YouTube and I searched tarot, and it's just there's white women everywhere you go. It's white women all the way down.
All the way down.
For me, I don't want to sound discriminatory or anything, but there's a way in which especially American middle-aged white women tend to delegitimize certain practices because there's a way in which I almost want to say they trivialize a lot of esoteric practices. Like you take yoga, you know, if you search yoga, you find middle-aged white women their pants. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they and I think this is why in many ways we have an aversion towards things like tarot card reading.
True.
Because it seems like it's for those people who are doing it, to be honest, because they're bored, you know, and they want something exciting in their lives, or you know, because we don't necessarily associate them, or rather we associate them with this self-induced spirituality where so you just decided to be spiritual, you just grew your hair out long and you started wearing your long dress. Yeah, you know what I mean? You wear your bangles and your mantles and whatever. What are your thoughts on the fact that this practice has the face of white women?
The amount of studying that I had to do, even just to understand the major arcana mfela, just the luminaries, just astrology, the amount of studying that I had to do, I can understand why a person my age would rather say, Yazin, I'd rather pay someone to teach me these things. So it is true that those women are the women you'll find that this person had a very had one experience, or I'll just say a near-death experience, where they know that there's a God now, and then they start studying, and then they start following Egyptian whatever, because there is that privilege of I can actually sit and study, I have all the time in the world, I don't have to work, I don't have to this. So when my stuff was like, when Abantu Abadala were like, listen, we're not going to let you work because your prophetic path is about understanding things and helping people understand things, so you're going to study this. The amount of studying I had to do. The amount of studying. So I can't even see. And going back to verification, there's no black person that's just going to come out and say, oh, I have a calling. Okay, let me go and do it the white way. Because what's the family going to say? What are they going to say? You're coming. Why can't you just do things the way that we know? Because even when you have to go in and pay for any, parents don't just let you go in. They want to double check everything. Because how do you just allow your child to get into something that you don't understand? So, going back to that, middle-aged white woman, them having all of this time to actually study and get into these things and to taking away from it. And it does trivialize it, because a lot of the readings that you will get online won't even be half as deep as they should be. So I don't know if that's making sense. And I'm not speaking against anyone who's doing it for whatever reason. There are spiritual people that open up their psychic abilities through the practice. Because here's something that I tell many of my clients a lot. This thing is easy to explain in any other context other than spirituality. In that you can never call yourself a soccer player and never play soccer. You call yourself a soccer player because you practice. You know this thing, you do it. In spirituality, it becomes different. Because a person just expects you you have never practiced, you've never this. Same thing. You are now coming, someone is coming to you and saying, I want to verify if I really have a spiritual gift. Because they tell me I have a spiritual gift, but I've never dreamt of anything. I've never seen this guy go red. I've never seen that. And then I tell this person, Uti, what person has... Yes, there are people where you wake up and it's developed to that point. But other people, you have to develop that muscle so it actually works. Because the reason why a lot of our things are lost to us is because we haven't developed that muscle long enough to be familiar with it. When then you start telling a person about all these clairs, the claircognizance, the voyance, the clair what, then they're like, oh yes, I know that thing, I do it. Every single time before I go somewhere, there'll be a sixth sense and it will tell me this, and then I'll know what I'm thinking in. And I'm like, that is what it is. So you develop that. You don't look at someone who's on chapter 50. Loya mkhulu loya, he's been doing this thing for 20 years. And that's why he's at that level. You want to compare yourself with that person. You want to compare yourself with that person just because they told you you have a spiritual gift. The muscle is there. But how are you doing to develop it? How are you growing it? How are you? And that's where I feel like a lot of these middle-aged white women, because you can't say that you're actually a prophet and not actually do the work. Drink water.
One thing I've always wanted to understand about tarot card reading is that, and it's something that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
in that there is a function of reflecting. You a big part of it is reflecting what is happening in a person's life spiritually, right? In our general understanding, you go there first years to get a diagnosis, mm-hmm. yeah, but
mm-hmm.
basically a picture of what's happening, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then Ukoko then will say, okay, so this is the situation. And you say, okay, I need to remedy this situation. And then she will say, okay, Siyaphalaza, you're going to go to the river, take this, take that, do this, do that. And then, because we're trying to take this particular situation, and you want to take it in this particular direction,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Tarot doesn't have amayeza,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So does tarot, is it just a function of, I need to know what's happening in my life. And you say, okay, this and this and this, and this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, okay, I get this is what's happening, but I don't like what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't like this particular situation. I actually want to change this particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
Oh, I love that question. I love that question. So, personal experiences. So when it comes to the healing spaces, we know that in the beginning, there would be one individual who is exceptional at that. Once they've done that process, they will then take you to Igedla, someone who specializes in herbs, to actually help you with, you know, whatever needs to be aligned. And then there'll be some that specialize in cleansings. There'll be one that specializes in that. So I believe that even in the tarot spaces, personally, it becomes that thing of once a problem has been identified and once you know what you have to align, you know what you have to cleanse, you know what you have to purify, it becomes a little easier. Because would I not be robbing people to try and do it all instead of specializing in one thing? Because my being a herbalist and giving you ikambi and saying this is what's going to help you, I have my set things that I do, such as soaps and spiritual baths, because these are things that I have helped me. So these, you're using regular cleansing items, like you'll have your camphor blocks, you have your own aura cleansing, whatever. These are things that you do to cleanse yourself. So the best you can do is actually suggest to client that here's how you can purify, here's how you can that. I don't do home cleansings, but I can give you contacts to people who do effective home cleansings. Because by doing that, we are allowing that space to actually flourish. Because I'm very skeptical of a person who comes to me saying, I can do everything. I can do everything. Simply because from my personal experiences, I know how difficult it is to just master that one thing. And to do it so exceptionally well that once you've done that for someone, someone is actually going to go and call 5 other people. There's no real promotion that I do for what I do. It has just been word of mouth. It works for that person. They go tell that person. They go tell that person. They go tell that person, because it started with family. Family got such wonderful results. Family told their friends. Friends told other friends. And then that's how it actually grew. So yes, in tarot, you do not get Ieza as per se, but you are able to actually suggest that since that and that is out of balance, you can remedy it in this and that way, but this is your life. This is your problem. Figure out how to fix this. Phahla. Get answers. ask abantu abadala ukuthi makunje what actually needs to happen, because there are people that will come to me simply because they are saying, oh, I had a dream of a girl who has green green and gray in the hair, so I just felt like I should come here, and I'm glad I did because I got all the answers I needed. So meaning that it's not to say that they won't be able to guide you forward ngalenkinga lezi ezichamuka in your reading.
I think what you're suggesting works, is something that works within an ecosystem. If we're to develop, let's say, you know how there's a health system, there's a medical health system, mm-hmm. that has, you know, you go to your GP,
yes.
and then your GP says, okay,
transcribe.
You know, yeah, they give you a referral, okay, go to the cardiologist, and then the cardiologist will say, okay, no, I think you need to go to that person, you know, in order to try to figure this out. So I want to understand this practically, if there is such an infrastructure, or if it works. I come to you, we do a reading, it becomes clear that, let's say, there's a dark cloud around me, right? There are things that are not well around me, within me, all of that, right? Are you then going to say, okay, this is what's happening in your life, right? There's a dark cloud around you. There's this thing happening. You're not in a good space. What do you say from that point onwards? Are you going to say, partially that I get, and are you gonna then say you need to go see Sangoma, who will attend to that particular thing, because from what you're seeing, it needs this kind of direction, it needs this kind of specialist. Do you then give a referral?
So you come in, there's a dark cloud, we are picking up where the imbalance is. So my thing from that point is then to ask, what is the best way to then remedy this? So with my people, they will usually give a blend. All right, they will usually give a blend, stuff that you've got in your kitchen, things that you actually have access to. And then they'll say, okay, here are the things that you can do. Usually it will be something you do ngamakhoni with an enamel bowl, candles. They'll have a little setup. After that point, usually within a 3-day window period, that person knows what needs to be done. The people that come to me, because I have a lot of older people that come to me, utholukuthi I am not 100% in that paradigm, almost as if she'll say, I need a home cleansing. And then what I will tell them is that I've never done a home cleansing, but I know ukhokho who does home cleansings. Or this is a person who, in the actual reading, the people will tell you that this person has a foreign attachment, which we know as Ilwani and other foreign entities that are there. And then this person will say, yes, somebody has told me that, but I wasn't sure. So I didn't take it seriously because I didn't know if I was being scammed or not. Now that you have the actual confirmation, the next step is, I personally wouldn't feel good with a blend. So you will have that blend. It will help you get the clarity you need in order to move forward. But I will also give you someone who can actually help you with an actual cleansing. Labantu who actually deal with uksusa, those entities, inyonga, nelwani. Because I cannot sit there and say, oh, you will go and figure it out.
Doesn't that create conflict with healers? In that healers would say, I could have done all of that.
It does.
You didn't need to go to get a tarot card reading. Like, what if I say I went to Bruja Tembi and she said this and this and this, and she says I need a cleansing, and I'm here ukhokho, so what do you say? Doesn't that then create some kind of conflict, or is it a situation where you, as a person, as a tarot card reader, do you call yourself a tarot card reader, by the way, or do you, is there like a
tarot card reader works fine,
okay, or do you as an individual have to then take it upon yourself to create that ecosystem where you then speak to healers and develop a relationship with them, so that you know, like how a GP would will sort of send you to their gynae, mm-hmm. or you know, the cardiologist that he studied with, mm-hmm. or the whoever it is that she studied with, mm-hmm. because you won't refer someone randomly. A doctor won't refer someone randomly to just go anywhere you want.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They would say go to this particular hospital because they know that in this particular hospital, within obviously your means, this is the person that you're most likely going to meet. So
what has created problems in the past is that monopolizing of power, meaning that a person doesn't even tell you that I can't help you with this. So many people come in and they will say, I went into that place and this person doesn't tell me what impande yami, they don't have it. Meaning that I find out while I'm in the process, because people are actually afraid to say, I actually cannot do that. So it's just an honesty factor, because I understand that in this work, I'm not working for myself. There are people that are working through me, and laba bantu laba batala, I need to honor them with honesty. Meaning that if somebody decides to then say, oh, but you went to that tarot reader, you should have just come to me, I could have done everything. And then you find out that this is then them taking out that spiritual element of it. Because even nomuntu ukhokho asebenza ngelwane, taking, removing these certain things, there are powers that that person is working with. So the insult is not even to me. It has nothing to do with me. Because at the end of the day, there was one specific woman who had such a problem. And then once she did this blend that she received, the problems were gone. Meaning that there was literally no reason for them to actually take in that referral that I'd actually given them. Because I think that sometimes these things, they become, the gravity of them becomes so big that you don't want to tell someone who has been conditioned to think that this thing must be grand. And you don't want to tell them that, oh, tati turmeric and tati moringa, and just put it in a glass of water. And then that person is just supposed to believe that things are going to happen. You will give them that, but you'll also give them an option just for their own peace of mind. That if you really want to do things the traditional way, here's what else you can do. But usually, abantu abadala have sorted things out to such an extent that by the time this person has done what has been required of them, everything is already aligned. Because such a simple thing where a person will have ibai elibovu, and they will know what they are taking from that color red, and they will know what they are taking from this and how they are using it to align whatever. So we need to remove our egos from the picture, because this is the reason why things are such a mess right now in the ecosystem of our healing spaces. It's about the actual ego. That no, just come to me, I'll fix everything for you, I'll do everything for you. You don't know my problems. You don't know my issues. You don't know the gravity of them. And this work that you've been entrusted with doing, it actually has very little to do with you as a vessel and a conduit. So now, that process of, yazi, I'm going to lose money. So I know that I am a pharmacist. I work specifically with Ikambi. So in order for me not to send my clients wami to whoever to go ayohlola, I have to figure out how to hlola. That way I'm then monopolizing everything. So you come to me and you'll get everything. It's been working for many, many years. But we are in a space now where people are actually needing more, are requiring more, have evolved more. So much so that the people who come to me, I'm not the only person who's reading for them. People will want to come in and compare information and take this and take that. Have I heard that before? Because there's been so much scams. There are people that come in and they will say, listen, I spent a fortune. I spent 18,000 with this person who told me ukuthi they can remove lempundulu yam. And I'm still experiencing those problems. So please be honest with me. So I think the best we can give to people is actual honesty. I need to be able to say, I've developed this thing. I've worked in it. I know how to do it. And you're going to get actual value. Because then I'm not messing you around as well. So I guess it just becomes that, it becomes that thing of where you are at that particular time in your life, because I do not believe that the people who come to me just come to me.
Hmm.
Yes.
Do you have people that you refer clients to in case there's a further need for?
The referrals I've done right now is there is a prophet who I've been working with who does some home cleansings, and then there is ukoko, she is Isangoma, and I will refer them to, especially if someone has a spiritual gift and they are trying to navigate that, but they have abantu abadala that want to do things that way. Like, because you do find people that are like, listen, I want to do things ngendlela isiXhosa. That's how I want to do my things. Then you need to be able to say, okay, here's what would actually help. So much so that I understand my role as someone who is going to help that particular individual to understand what's going on. Because there are many healers that you can't question. Many healers you can't talk to. Many healers you can't say, but why must I 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? So that's the role that I play. So I'm not in a position where I'm trying to be the healer. Everyone must come to me. No, you will have gobela wako, you will have your this, you will have that. And I'm the person you come to in order to make sense of things. That I'm really trying to understand how all of these elements come together, because working healers don't have time for that. They don't.
Mm-hmm. Do people who come to you have a clear understanding of what you do?
Not,
like, do we have the right expectations?
Not many of them, because I feel like many of them, it becomes an experience that, hey, my friend had a wonderful reading with you and you told her 90% everything that came out was so accurate. I want to hear what's going to come out for me. So it's not even about tarot as we know it, that with tarot this is what I'm gonna get. It becomes that thing of, wow, somebody got this. Oh, and you helped Usiswami had a problem with her child. The child had asthma problems and whatnot, and all of a sudden she doesn't have asthma problems. I couldn't get a job. I did what you said I must do. Hey, look, I got a job. So it's those things that then make people, it's not for them, it's not even about understanding what it is. It's, wow, that thing has worked.
I need a solution. I need that particular solution.
I need that solution
that someone else had.
And I think that's the one thing that has been keeping it going for so long, because people are very results driven. Like, you can sit here and tell someone the most magical thing and tell them everything, and if it's gonna create no actual value in their lives, they will give no value at all. So I think the thing about tarot in my instance is that it has been something that creates so much value in the person's life that they are compelled to then let other people know about it. So I don't even know if it's still tarot per se, but it's just at that exchange of value is how I see it as well. Because as much as I'm not in a position where I'm trying to commercialize spirituality and people's experiences and whatnot, but you are also in that experience where you want the other person to value what the reflections they are getting and how they are helping them to unlock certain things in their lives and to move forward.
What's the most challenging case you've dealt with that you can think of?
There's been so many. Earlier last year, I had a breakthrough with a woman who was diagnosed infertile. She had PCOS, and I don't remember what the other thing, fibroids, PCOS and fibroids. So I had gone to school with this woman, so I knew her, this lady. So she was just, we both come from a Christian background. So she was in that position where she's like, you know what? I'd like to get a reading. You know, I have a problem in my life. I'm having a tough time with my in-laws because I just can't conceive. And I don't know what else needs to be done. And this is being said in a conversation. And I was like, okay, let's do it. We did the reading. She got her results. But now the difficult thing is, after her testimonial, other barren women are coming forward. Now it's like, you have done the magic. You need to do it again. And now when people come in with that expectation, they need to understand.
Of a specific outcome.
Exactly. They need to understand that I'm not the one doing the work. I'm a vessel. So if you follow the instructions that your own people have given you in your reading, you can get the same result, but I actually cannot guarantee it. So this is a person who literally had to appease her maternal side because she had grew up on the paternal and her blessings were on her mother's side. So they were in a position where they want to be acknowledged so she could actually get that.
So in your deck, you can pick such things up as there's an issue on your maternal side, there's an issue. Because I think our general understanding of the cards is like fortune telling. You're going to tell me what's going to happen. or you know, you're gonna meet your future husband, you're gonna meet your future wife, you're gonna do this. Can a reading be in that's it? I almost want to say, can it be just like, you know, ukubula ngamathambo, where you can say to a person, your maternal grandfather has this and this kind of issue, and this is why this and this has happened. Can it get into that kind of context and detail?
Yes, my tarot is actually separated in that way, where you have cards from the maternal, you have cards from the paternal side, just so that it's easier to navigate where the communication is coming from and where the problems are. So a lot of the people who will come forward, you will get abokoko, you will get abomama, you will get all of these people that will then tell you how to rectify things. So with her specifically, she then knew that, oh, okay, so this is what needs to be done, and she followed through, and after following through, she was able to conceive. So someone else coming in saying, I want that same result, it becomes a bit of an issue, because I don't know where the imbalances are,
because the problem might not be stemmed from the same thing.
Yes,
the symptom might be the same, but the actual condition is not the same.
It's not the same, exactly. So I think that has been a difficult thing. And there was one other time where I was dealing with the Kesha. So this person was an elderly man, or let me not say elderly man. This was a person who had been practicing for his Katiside. And he'd been like, he was Ikobela, still teaching people and everything. So I felt like he was in a space where I was expecting him to know more. So I didn't understand why he was coming for a reading. So it was a heavy thing, because I'm like, are we even gonna hear each other? But to my pleasant surprise, this person came in to the reading, and everyone who came forward, he was like, I know all these people who came forward, and I know all the communication, I know everything that they are talking about. And it was difficult for me, because already this person coming in being an elder person and having been practicing for so long, you worry about the expectations. You worry about the expectations. What are they coming in to get? That thing we spoke of about earlier on, when you were like, do you go for readings? And then you, at that point, you don't even understand. But why are you coming here? Shouldn't I be coming to you? So those are the things that I feel like have been the most challenging for me. And people who come in with expectations already, like I come from the Xhosa background, and we do our things like this, like that, like that, like this. So I want you to be able to meet me on that level. And then it's like, but we communicate differently.
Sure. So it does seem like, for lack of a better phrasing, that when a person comes for a tarot card reading, that they should almost, or rather it implies that they should almost leave behind a lot of their cultural context. Is that what it is?
No, I don't think that's all right. I don't think, because that is with me, that is not with them and their experience.
Okay.
Because without that cultural background, how do you then understand what's coming out? You know your questions, you know the things you want to attend to. You come into the reading, and fortunately those things get addressed. That's all there is. On my end, I'm communicating about some of the things that have created barriers for me in the past. But we also need to keep in mind that it's not about me. I'm not the one doing the actual work. I'm not even the one doing the communication. I am the one who's delivering whatever is coming out. So I can't tell a person not to come in with their cultural understanding or their traditional background, because what am I saying? How are they going to contain the information that comes out? Because a lot of the people come in and they say, oh, I understand that because I was told Uchi, I have his tomb. I was told Uchi, I have his tomb. And then in the Western and Eastern spaces, Istunga is Reiki, working with Reiki. This is energy healing. So in the Black spaces, this is Istunga, because you're tapping in. And then when we talk about Amantabatala, we have the Kundalini and the seven energy centers, where you know Mutumdao is always there by the root chakra. And then you are able to break all of that down, meaning that the language may be different, but the spirituality is the same.
Thank you.
other day, I was watching a Bob Credo Muta documentary on YouTube, and I was listening to him describing the names of alien beings in isiZulu. According to him, ancient Southern Africans not only had knowledge of other worlds outside of the earth, but they actually had relationships with the beings from those different worlds. The thing that caught me was the names that he used and the fact that I had never heard of these names before, and it got me thinking. In the ever-dwindling use of our own native languages, more and more things are going to sound alien to us. Because when you can't say something in your own language, it does in a way give a sense that within your cultural history, that thing never existed. Like, if we don't have a name for beings from other worlds, it kind of does imply that we have never encountered them, or at the very least, we've never even entertained the idea of their existence. And we don't even have to go far across the galaxy to understand this, because let's say, in your own language, how many different species of birds do you know? How many of them can you name in your native language? How many different snakes can you name? When you really think about it, you really get the sense that if you don't know these names, then it does imply that maybe your forefathers and your foremothers probably also didn't know that either, right? But you know that's not the case. You know that our ancestors probably could name literally every bird in the country that they came across. They had names for all of these things. So where am I going with this? When you hear tarot card reading, it really does sound alien. Or at the very least, it sounds like something not of the continent. And this is primarily because of the language around it. The language itself sounds foreign. The idea of the images categorized into what is called the major arcana or the minor arcana does seem like something out of a dodgy B-grade horror movie. But the truth is that the system of divination used by Isangoma is very similar to how tarot card reading operates. Different names are given to different pieces, and different meanings can be gleaned from the different constellations of thrown bones. And this process does correlate, in a way, with tarot card reading. Maybe the issue is that tarot cards resemble playing cards, and make it feel like you are gambling more than you are trying to access the spiritual realm. I know for sure that there will be those who are concerned about the credentials of a tarot card reader, especially in relation to people like Bruja Thembi. But the debate about whether or not Ukuthwasa is the only channel through which a person can become a practicing medium is one that will go on forever. Personally, I believe that tarot card reading has a long way to go, particularly in our context. It really does feel isolated from the field of spiritual practices as we have come to understand them today, and perhaps that's a good thing. Perhaps it is a speciality or a specialized practice, and it does remind us that we are really not gifted in the same way, all of us, and maybe it does function better as one aspect of a holistic approach to healing. Maybe. Or maybe you'll have fun playing Crazy 8 with your ancestors. My name is Vusumzi Nqandi. Thank you so very much for joining me on yet another episode of The Journey Kwantu. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. And I wish you light. I wish you courage. And I wish you all the very best on your journey. Makwande.